Take your Bibles, please turn to Psalm 85. Psalm 85, we'll read verses 1 through 8. Psalm 85, verses 1 through 8. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from thy fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant unto us thy salvation. I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us in this place. Lord, this church has been here an awful long time, but it seems like in the last few years you've just settled here. Your presence has been here. You've given us a man of God that loves you, that walks with you, and that has your hand of blessing upon him, and it's kind of spilled out all over us. Father, please be with our preacher today, fill him with your power. Be with our people. May we be open to receive what you have for us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Some say you can't have revival today. That's not true. That's not true. In a day when people are becoming less holy, in a day when people are becoming less fundamental, less productive for God, and less separated both from the world and ecclesiastically, the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church is becoming more holy, more fundamental, more productive for God, and more separated both from the world and ecclesiastically. Someone asked me this question. They said, what do you think about the new fundamentalism? I said, you can't have a new fundamentalism. That's impossible. As if fundamentalism needs a facelift. I like the old face just fine. Fundamentalism remains what it is, which is the fundamentals. Fundamentalism does not change, but the characters and the players change. Fundamentalism is what it has always been. It cannot change. Fundamentalism can't change, but people veer away from fundamentalism. The Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church is an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist church. And here we're experiencing an old-time revival. Today is my third anniversary of becoming the pastor of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. I have emotions that run to the extremes. A part of me is just overwhelmed. Another part of me wants to grab the cordless mic and run wild and just preach like a maniac. I feel like a woman right now. My emotions are all mixed up. I want to thank God for the revival that we have seen for 36 straight months. So often, a church will call for a revival, and they may have a week or a few days or a couple of weeks. God is my witness, and as these good people as witness for God. It has been 36 straight months, service after service, that God has come in a miraculous way. Someone said, well, the honeymoon will wear out, wear off. It's been 36 months and we're still going strong. 156 weeks of revival. 1,095 days of revival. I want to brag on Jesus. It is a God-provided revival. I say to my Lord, we praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. revive us some more. Again, this Sunday, and again, this Wednesday, and again, next Sunday, and again, the Wednesday after that. I was looking in the Bible. I did not have time to study it as thoroughly as what I wish. 22 revivals that I noticed. I noticed that Jacob had a revival in Genesis 35 on the return to Bethel. Jacob ordered his entire household to put away their false gods and to wash and change their garments. They did this and built an altar to the true and living God, and there was a revival that came. Samuel in 1 Samuel 7, there was a great revival. Moses in Exodus chapter 14. This occurred when the complaining Israelites saw the mighty hand of God in the parting of the Red Sea. On the safe eastern side of the sea, Moses led the people in a song of praise, and a revival broke out. There was a revival in 1 Chronicles 15 with David when the Ark of the Covenant was brought into Jerusalem for the first time. Solomon experienced a revival in 2 Chronicles 7, and Asa in 1 Kings chapter 15 when he removed the Sodomites and the false gods and idols out of the land. Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter number 19. The king led a revival when he ordered the cleansing of the temple and the sanctification of the Levitical priesthood. You know, you won't have revival if the leadership's not clean. Elijah had a revival in 1 Kings chapter 18, and this took place after the contest with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Jehu, a revival in 2 Kings chapter 10, the extermination of all the Baal worshippers. Jehudiah in 2 Kings chapter 11, this godly high priest led the people in a covenant whereby they forsook their idols and they worshiped the true and living God. Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles 29, Manasseh in 2 Chronicles chapter 33, Josiah, just a boy, the revival broke out when the book of the law was accidentally discovered in the temple. As the temple was being cleaned up, they found again the Word of God. Ezra in Ezra chapter 9 and 10, and Nehemiah in Nehemiah 13, and Jonah when the Ninevites came back to God because of the preaching of Jonah. Esther in Esther chapter 9, and John the Baptist as he began to preach the coming Messiah and how people ought to repent of their sins, be born again, and follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Jesus saw a revival break out in John 4 after the conversion of the Samaritan woman. And Philip's strong preaching as an evangelist brought revival in Samaria. Who could leave out the Apostle Peter on Pentecost in Acts chapter 2? And Paul, one of the greatest revivals ever occurred in Ephesus during Paul's third missionary journey. No two revivals are ever just alike. No two preachers are ever just alike. But they all summons the same Holy Spirit. They all summons the same holy spiritual Word of God. We have had the privilege now for 3 years to share in a revival that God has brought. I'm going to tell you about the revival, and the problem is I do not have enough time to tell you everything that's occurred, and we don't know everything that's occurred. Oh, you think about the things that have occurred down deep in your own heart, your own family, that nobody really even knows about. I want to brag on the Lord today. I want to tell you some things that God has been doing in this place. I call this Thank God for Our Old Time Revival. You just stay with me, if you will. Our 36-month revival has included the salvation of some souls. In the last 3 years, right here in little old Martinsburg, West Virginia, 2,337 people have walked the aisles of this church professing Jesus Christ as Savior. 4,000 others being saved out on the streets, with 772 people being baptized. This isn't a metropolis of New York or Chicago or Los Angeles, California or Orlando, Florida. This is a little old place, kind of in the middle of nowhere. What they said when I said I was going to Martinsburg, West Virginia was, "Where's that?" Never heard of it. God's heard of it. God's heard of it. Our revival includes a very peaceful transition. Dr. and Mrs. Don Smith. Dr. Smith was a pastor here for 35 years. They remain here in the church as members. I am their pastor and leader. It has been a fantastic transition. He has been a gentleman and a godly man. Yes. And I thank God for the revival that he and I share together because of the behavior that's going on. I led the board after coming here to increase Dr. Smith's retirement package. We built a museum over here in the entry of our gymnasium to Dr. and Mrs. Smith. For 36 months, though not everybody would exactly understand it, for 36 months, not one month has passed that this church has not done something, either publicly or privately, for the Smiths to remind them of how much we love them and appreciate their investment in the previous pastor to this church. We have had a wonderful, wonderful transition, I think, of Jody and David, Dr. and Mrs. Smith's daughter and son-in-law. I am their friend. They are my friend. We have gotten along just fantastic. And by the way, they're as much of an important part of a transition as others. You can hear the horror stories where a pastor goes in and takes a church where the pastor and his family are there and how they fuss and fight and can't get along and how they want to pull out of the church and make a statement. We've not had that. Those that said that certain things could not be done, they limit God. I asked the board to give Mrs. Smith, she worked here in the school and helped to lead the school for many years. Some of you remember, I led the board. We gave Mrs. Smith a little money every month, I think every week, a little bit of money every week of her life because I wanted to show her that we loved her. And this little retirement package, if you will, you'll remember that we flew the Smiths to Hawaii and gave them a vacation. And then we took Dr. Smith on as one of our missionaries and we support him monthly. In addition to his salary and the other things that we provide. Do you know something? Very few people have left our church. I wondered about saying this, but I want to say it. Very few people have left our church. But let me tell you this. If somebody didn't want the old-time religion, if they didn't want what we are, I can tell you something. They left so appropriately. They left so appropriately. They didn't try to take other people with them. They did not try to split our church. You know, you're going to find this out about me, folks. I want you to stay here because I love you, but I'm not going to throw a fit about you leaving. I want you to stay. I love you. I want you here. But if you think that you can find something better out there, I'd rather you go find it. I mean, if you're going to get the Word of God preached to you better than what I can, if your music is going to be purer or more holy than what we provide here, if you can find a school that is interested in the spiritual well-being of your children better than here, please, I want you all to transfer. Because I love you and I want you to be spiritual more than I want you in my church. But I've watched just, and very few have left. But when they did, they slipped out very quietly. I respect them. I love them. You all know this. I've not attacked one person since I've been here. Somebody left here, I did not attack them. Matter of fact, I treated some of them very well on the way out as they would have not have treated me maybe the same. You know what? Not one person that has slipped away from this church has attacked us in the community. They've not become our enemy. Even in their rejection of the old-time religion, they still had a propriety, and they're not bitter and nasty, and they're not my enemy. I respect that, and I want you to know I am their friend, and they're welcome to come back if they would like. I tried to treat them right on the way out. I didn't kick dirt on them and spit on them on the way out. They're welcome here. What a transition. God has just miraculously stepped in. In our revival, it includes some wonderful growth. Some growth in our attendance, if you will. Just think. Some people would almost consider this a mountain community. We are in West Virginia. We are surrounded by mountains. A couple of you are mountain men. A couple of you are mountain women. Women here are tougher than the men. You mess with me, I got women will beat the snot out of you, buddy. Right here in little old Martinsburg, West Virginia, we had a high day in Sunday school of 1,020 people. We averaged somewhere between 750 and 800 people every Sunday of the year in Sunday school. Our morning church service had 1,120 people here just a few months ago and averaged, 850, 900 people every Sunday. Get this, our Sunday evening services. One night we had 601 people show up Sunday night. We'll average about 500 people, which, by the way, is a very, very high percentage. Wednesday evenings, a high day of almost 600 on a Wednesday night. Most people don't want to advertise their Wednesday night crowd. I'd be glad to tell you how many I have on Wednesday night. No problem whatsoever. You come here on any given Wednesday night, this auditorium will be packed out because our people love to hear the Word of God Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. There's a strength in that Wednesday night crowd. We love our bus ministry here, and God has blessed it. Had 416 on our buses not long ago, an average in the low to mid 300s. That's about 33% of our church attendance, which, again, if you only understood, you would understand what that means.
Yes, sir.
We have our King's Kids program. I think Brother John told me they average about 80 kids a week, get up around 120 on certain occasions. This week, well over 140 people out soul winning. I get criticized every time I say this, and I just love it. So I'm going to say it again. Over 4,000 visitors in 3 years have come to this church. You say, that's hard to believe. Did you see how many visitors stood up today? Dozens. I wouldn't doubt there are 24 to 40 visitors here today, not including just this auditorium, but the other services that are going on. This old-time revival that God has provided has given us some growth. Our revival includes some improvements to our property, our grounds, and our equipment. And let me tell you what that's really all about. That's all about you. I really don't care anything about these lights and this carpet and those pews. But I look out and see a lady who has back problems. I would like for you to have a comfortable pew. I know some who, if they get too hot, they'll be miserable. Health-wise. So we'll take care of the air conditioning. The building's not about the building. The building's all about the people that I love. The building's all about you. I want you to have some dignity in the community, and I want you to be pleased with bringing your guests and your friends to this church. God's given us a beautiful facility, and He's made it so that we can make some improvements. I want to tell you about them. For instance, we bought this house and the property that it sits on up here on the southeast corner of our church. And we're turning it into Sunday school space and office space because of growth. You know, we bought new carpeting. I think, Brother Paul, I figured up almost $90,000 worth of carpeting we put in the church since I arrived 3 years ago. We paid cash for it all. $85,000 worth of new pews. We paid cash for them all. Our 430 new songbooks, we paid cash. We're going to get you some more, those of you in the balcony. It's either we get you more songbooks or you must take one home and memorize all the songs. And from the looks of the people that sat in the balcony, I need to go ahead and get the books. We added 7 new buses to our fleet, all of which we paid cash for. You know, we bought our tour bus, our big, nice air-conditioned bus, paid somewhere $14,000, $15,000. We paid cash for it. Painted all of our buses red, white, and blue. Churches all across America are patterning the color of their church buses after our red, white, and blue buses. Have about 70 workers in our bus ministry. We totally remodeled my office. All new choir chairs. They had wore out the old ones. We doubled the size of our choir. Numerically, 54 voices. We purchased 800 new chairs to be used for our overflow crowd. I think that figures up at the price that we paid it, about $16,000. We paid cash for them. We added our new bus parking lot out here, and we paid cash. We added 2 new paid parking lots at $50,000. We paid cash. We put new lights in the parking lot. We paid cash for them. We have new street lights and things so they all match around our church. The choir just recently got new folios for the choir. We bought a big new refrigerator for over in Martinsburg Christian Academy. You say because you wanted some nice appliances. No, not really. But because I'd like your children's food to be kept cool, so when they eat lunch, they have a good lunch. It's not all about things. I'm so disappointed. It's about people. We got to keep our eyes on people. Our refrigerator's for people, and these pews are for people, and those buses are for people. I watched a man for many, many years, pastor of the church that I worked for at First Baptist Church in Hammond. His name was Jack Hiles. I hope I caught one little thing. It was always about people.
Yes.
Always about people. We bought some new microwaves for the school, I think 3 or 4 of them. We upgraded the kitchen over here. Some of these things you folks would never know because we're so busy. I mean, Paul Mongan has writer's cramp from writing checks around here, I'll promise you. He's our chief financial officer. We're busy. You don't know half of what goes on. We're working constantly. We upgraded the kitchen over here with new cabinets and new plumbing. We now can make sermons available on CD. We've got all the equipment up there. We now have a CD duplicator. As you know, we've been using just cassettes. We also have the technology to make DVDs of our service available. We're set up so when we have overflow and like at a conference, we can't get everybody in here. We've got all the technology that we could put a bunch of people over in the gymnasium. All the wiring, it's all there. And so, you know, every bit of it, all paid for. Every single bit of it, all paid for. Thousands of dollars worth of landscaping. Here in a week or so, we're going to put a new gym, a new roof on our gym. We'll pay cash. We put a new roof on our church building here. Somewhere $70,000 to $80,000 we paid cash. We have spruced up the playground, and we painted the interior of the gym. We added a 0 to 6 month nursery, Mrs. Brinklow's nursery. You remember it. I started dividing the nursery so that there was more space and it was a little more comfortable. Mrs. Brinklow, Mrs. Ewan is her assistant. All new equipment, the nursery facilities, all the staff. I have some new toys. Brother Bush, get me Mrs. Brinklow. Mrs. Brinklow, for your nursery, I got you a new toy. You say, why? Because I really like this thing. This is a Noah's Ark, and when you push the button, it makes different noises. This is the lion. Well, it's not microphone savvy yet because it's a little embarrassed, but this is for Mrs. Brinklow's nursery. I'll be up there because I really do like this thing. And so, Brother Bush, you can just set it down there on the ground, if you will. But we added another nursery, Mrs. Russell's nursery. That's for the 19-month to the 35-month-old babies. Mrs. Lopez helps her there. All the equipment, all the nursery facilities, the staff, and I got a bunch of new toys. I'm not even going to get them out, Brother Bush. I don't have time. But I got a bunch of new toys. I was going to play with toys all the way during the service. Again, I tell you, I can't figure out if I want to run and freeze wild or cry or play with nursery toys. God, for 36 months, has just settled in. We've wept. We've laughed. We've been charged up. We've been properly calmed down. It's just been amazing. We bought 2 new copy machines for the church, both of them color, and saving our church thousands and thousands of dollars as we print, multiply thousands of pieces of material. We had to tear down the walls and expand this auditorium, as you all know. And we painted the inside of the auditorium to lighten it up. We're painting and lightening up all the hallways out there. We built Brother John Doss's Sunday school classroom. Of course, we paid for it cash, everything that we've done. We built Mrs. Lawrence's Sunday school classroom and paid cash for it. And what a class, just growing and growing. We made Mrs. Milirons a room so that she could teach the deaf children's Sunday school class. And we had to block off some hallways and put new staircases to go to the third level up there, where we then built Brother Williamson's Sunday school classroom. Again, another class is just growing and growing. And then Brother Stephen Davis's new classroom. We built it up there. We expanded the choir loft up here. Some of you remember we've expanded it and moved things around to make that all doable. We remodeled Mrs. Montgomery's Sunday school classroom, and I have a bunch of toys and things that we'll give her later on today. And Mrs. Nash, just recently, Mrs. Montgomery, Mrs. Nash and I, and we talked, and Mrs. Nash is going to become Mrs. Montgomery's assistant back there in the 3-year-old nursery to help her. We moved offices of 4 people down to the mobile home that we own because we had to expand. We had to tear walls down to hold more people that were coming to hear the gospel preached. We painted all the privacy fences around the church and upgraded them. And we remodeled down here with new tile and some things in the ladies' restroom. We added storage areas up underneath staircases that you knew nothing about. We built overflow baptistry changing stalls back here in this ready room because there were times when we had so many people wanting to get baptized, we did not have the facilities to do it in a quick way. I shot 8 deer in 3 years. and a half a turkey. That's important. It'll be more next season. We added a restroom for the handicap and for our senior citizens back here in Brother Bill Stanley's Sunday School classroom. We purchased two new pianos, of course, cash, a brand new phone system that spreads throughout the entire church, and it's all paid for. We built three new offices over here. And as you all know, we built the new office building for the school over here, and we built the all the classrooms and everything that's there. It's all paid for. We have our new PA system and speakers, and we remodeled the PA room and doubled its size and upgraded all the equipment. Brother Nash and I met and tried to scribble down some numbers, well over $20,000 worth of PA equipment and duplicating equipment, all cash. We built the wall here in the second story because, as you know, the balcony led right into a hallway there, and you could see people coming and going, and we put up a new wall there. We remodeled Mrs. Duke's nursery, and again, I have some toys and things I'm going to give them later. We purchased new state-of-the-art riding lawnmower that all the men fight over, that they want to be the one to ride the new one and let all the jerks ride the old one, you know. And a lot of other lawn equipment, just all sorts of things. Purchased the church their own arc welder and power washer and new vacuum cleaners. We tiled the hallways over here in Martinsburg Christian Academy and the hallways over here in our high school. We started this school bookstore called the Pencil Box. Our locker rooms, if you've seen them recently, Brother Hawkins, God bless him, and new storage in there, all new tiles, all new showers, all new lights, the whole thing. If you've not seen them, I hope someday you get to see them. You see, along with the fact that we've been reaching people and getting them saved, our revival included a peaceful transition. Our revival included also some growth in attendance areas. Our revivals included the improvements, not for the sake of upping the value of the property, but upping the quality of the service to God's people. In our revival, we've started some new ministries and opportunities. For instance, we started the King's Kids program. When I got here, there was another program in place, but that program was slipping in regard to its separation and its standards and was promoting other than the King James Bible. And we will never support anything that is not strict King James Bible, not people, not organizations. And we're going to be very careful. We're going to be very careful not to slip in that area. But we started the King's Kids program because it's local church and it's Baptist and it's King James Bible. And now the 15 workers and 80 to 100 children that are trained every week of their life in a fantastic program. We started our Young Fundamentalist program on Sunday nights where we'll have 50 or 60 teenagers. And folks, I hope you know this, but let me tell you, we've just begun to do what we're going to do with our youth department. We have not put an asserted effort into going out and reaching a whole bunch of teenagers yet. You know what I want to do? I want to make sure all my teenagers were right where they ought to be before we start entertaining the others. And thank God, we've got a good group of young people here. We started the East Coast Ladies Conference. Last year, our second annual meeting, nearly 1,000 ladies from 78 different churches showed up. You check any conference in the country in their second year and see if God moves like that. We started the Shenandoah Hospitality Ministry. Mrs. Shanda Everhart oversees it. And I want all you ladies that are a part of that to know, I think it's one of the most important ministries in our church. Our intramural girls volleyball for our junior high and high school. And our intramural boys soccer for our junior high and high school. Our intramural boys basketball for grade school. And we're going to do others. You say, why intramural? Well, at least when I know when we're playing in-house in our school that the standards will be kept and we're not yoking up with every kind of yahoo out there just to say we've got a big sports program. We're not going to do that here. We play inter-school, and our schedule is all with independent fundamental Baptists that have the same standards, the same Bible, that live the same way that we do. You had the privilege of experiencing this during the revival. Brother Nash blew out his pants right before the service. He took a stapler and stapled everything back together and led very passively that night, because if you ever seen him, he's like he's churning butter up here or milking a cow, you know. That night he just stood still to make sure that everything was kept appropriate. We started our Saturday morning soul winning meeting. We added the Thursday night, the nurseries for Thursday night soul winning. We added a 6:15 Wednesday night teachers and officers meeting. We started many new bus routes down to Winchester, Virginia, up to Hagerstown, Maryland, to Hedgesville, Inwood. We split some, and 70-plus workers in our bus ministry now. We redesigned our church bulletins and have tried to upgrade them and make them nicer for you. We increased the number of special music participants, and there are dozens and dozens of people singing in our special music now. We increased the number of our nursery workers, so there's now over 80 of them. We started 32 new Sunday school classes, and many of you are here as a result of them. We increased our Sunday school teachers and officers total to almost 100 people, with all the teachers, assistant teachers, and helpers. Say, what's it really all about? And well, I'm here to do one thing, and that is to serve you. That's all I'm here to do. That's it. Part of my obligation to serve you is to help keep the church fundamental. Part of my obligation is to preach the Word of God to you. When I preach on your sin, it's not to hurt you, it's to help you. It's to help you get the sin out of your life so you'll be happier. But I'm here to serve you. I have tried in the 3 years that I've been here to make ample opportunity for you to serve God, for your life to be good as a Christian, and for you to change your life so that you can help others. A part of our revival includes a lot of preaching.
Yes, sir.
You know, get this. This is almost unbelievable. Do you realize that in 3 years, there have been ordered, or we have distributed 40,000 preaching tapes in 3 years? They call from everywhere. 40,000. That's not an exaggeration. That's a low number. We started a website where people can go to that website and get free downloads. It's 1 year old. So what someone can do, they can go to the website, and if they want to download a sermon, put it on their computer, or if they want to hear it online, get these numbers. 1 year old, 14,600 sermons were downloaded last year. 33,206 sermons were listened to online. That's a total of 48,206 people from across the country have listened to the sermons preached here in this auditorium. It's uncanny. Add that to the 40,000 cassette tapes, 88,206 requests for the sermons that have been preached here in the last 3 years. Zero. I preached 187 times on the subject of prayer. People say, what's happening out there in that mountain community? God's here.
Amen.
He's invited.
Yes.
We never go through a service that I've not said, Holy Spirit of God, you take over. We're not the biggest church in the world. But I can tell you this. I think we're big to God. I've preached on the subject of prayer more than any other subject. You were here as I taught a series, and I taught for almost 2 years every single Saturday morning in men's prayer meeting. And don't you sell short the importance of that meeting. You got to come when men are all over this building on their faces before God on Saturday mornings begging the power of God on this place. It doesn't happen by accident. Hey, listen, you can go out and learn every technique in the world about building a church, but until you get a hold of God, that's where the real old-time revival comes from. I preached 43 times on the subject of soul winning. I preached 41 times on the Word of God. I preached 37 times to help you to groom your finances, never asking you to give anything. It was all about helping you get your finances on track. We're on our 21st, this Wednesday will be our 22nd sermon where I'm trying to help you with your families and your marriages. I preached 20 funerals and helped 20 of you lay your loved ones to rest. Do you know 40 sermons have been preached by me and my staff at funerals in 3 years? You see, there's been heartache along the way. That's God tenderizing our hearts, preparing us for more. I preached the famous sermon called What's Wrong with the Beach. It's not the sand. It's not the water. It's not the fishies. I sat down and figured it up. I've counseled 7,800 times in 3 years since I've been here. We've had great men come here to preach as a part of the revival. See, you're never going to have revival if you don't have prayer, if you don't uplift the Word of God. You're going to have preaching if you're going to have an old-time revival. You've heard Dr. Dean Miller preach here, Brother Tommy Ashcraft, Dr. Russell Anderson, Steve Heidenreich, Daryl Cox, Dr. Wendell Evans. You even got to hear Mrs. Hiles preach, if that's what you want to call it. She'll be again here this September. She's here with us every year. She promised me she'd come every year. She told us, how did she put that, honey? She'd be here every year until she got kicked by a mule and couldn't come anymore. And so we're having all the mules killed in the part of Texas where she lives. You heard Benny Hinn. I laid an egg there. And nothing to cluck about, is it? You say, who's Benny Hinn? He works for Colonel Sanders. No, you didn't hear Benny Hinn. That's probably the good part. Our revival has included some miracles, by the way. Marriage is salvaged. I would never, never use a name or even an innuendo that would embarrass anybody because my counseling is strictly confidential. But I've had husbands and wives sit in my office recently say, Brother Owen, since you came, we were going to get a divorce before you got here. We started coming to a couple services, and now we're happily married. Well, now, that makes the new carpet worthwhile.
Yes, sir.
And the nice tile in the hallways here and there. That's what it's really all about. People that have had their lives changed. You wouldn't believe who you might be sitting beside right now. Someone, had you seen them 3 or 4 years ago, if you knew how they were living and what they were like. And now, they're born-again Christians and their lives are on track and successful. The salvation of souls. I look back here and seen Mo Payton back here. Mo prayed for years that her husband, Bill, would be saved. What a miracle. I mean, if you knew the whole story, just a short time, I mean, hours before he passed away, he'd lived a rough life, pretty mean life. He trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Not in a strange way, but I believe God's moved in and actually healed some people's bodies that they might be strong enough to serve Him. We killed one scorpion right here in the pulpit. We survived a flood. And we did it happily. We've paid all of our bills on time. We paid some back salaries. We at Martinsburg Christian Academy, when we arrived here, 21% of the people going to the school were from our church. The other 79% were from other places, other churches. Now, 76% of the people in our school are from right here in our congregation. The other 24% are those of like faith around us in the community. In Faith Promise Missions, we have promised well over $300,000 to missions in the last 3 years. Our offerings have increased enough to cover it all, but we've not raised any money. None. Never a big push for a special offering. No money was given to us at all from outside from any of my rich friends. I don't want it. This church will function off of these people. You say, well, Brother Owens, if somebody wanted to give you a bunch of money, would you take it? I'll tell you this, it will never become a part of the regular functioning of our church because we need to learn to pay our own bills. If there's some special project that we have someday and somebody chooses to give us money, they may do so. But I'll tell you something. Did you know God can take care of us right here? Us. We've been able to increase the staff salary some and increase their benefits a little. We've been able to get some of the men a little tiny retirement package started. We have standards for every person filling a position here in this church. We're not growing by compromising. Not at all. 100%. I preached a sermon on being a role model and the things that we would expect. Do you know the people in our choir, 100%, they all follow the role model expectations, the standards. All the special music people, 54 people in the choir, 70 people in the special music program, all 70 bus workers, all the King's Kids workers, the 42 Sunday school teachers, the 42 assistant teachers, all the deacons, all their wives. We have not compromised our standards one iota, and 100% in every one of those categories, those people follow the dress code, the expectation, the soul winning, the tithing, the church membership, all of it. Our revival includes some additions to our church family. Many families have come here to join us. Many families from all over the community have come to join. I've hired the following people to work for us. Brother Bush and his wife work for us. Brother Nash works for us. Brother Gewin and his wife Rhonda now will be teaching in our school this next year as a pre-K 4 teacher. Brother Joe Lopez works for us part-time and his wife Leanne. Brother John Doss works for us part-time, and his wife Laura. Laura works for us full-time in our music ministry. My son Joshua works for us now, and his wife Corey works for us part-time. We hired Miss Joan Kane to work for us part-time, and Stephen Davis works full-time, and his wife Carmen part-time. Brother Brett Williamson works for us part-time, and Shanda Everhart now helps us part-time. Brother Young, Rick Young and his wife Susan work for us part-time. We hired Mrs. Russell and Mrs. Costa and Melinda Gillum. My son Jeff helps us part-time. Let me tell you, every single person's a member of our church. Every single person goes soul winning. Every single person follows all the standards, all that they're loyal, they're hardworking. Everybody that works for us, 100% are members of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. We've had some additions. Thank God, Mrs. Owens and I, we've had no additions to our family. I never lost it in the pulpit as much as I did one day. I said this. I said, you know what we need to do? We need to get a bunch of you women to have some babies out there. We could build our church just by having babies. How many of you would raise your hand and have a baby for the sake of the cause of Christ? I looked down, my wife's hand was up. Oh. I got tickled. I laughed and laughed. How many of you remember that night? It's not really funny. There are some other new things on the horizon. For instance, I told you recently, I'm going to start preaching what we call old paths conferences. And I'm worried that we're getting off the old path. And just like a Revival Fires conference or the old sword conferences, we're going to have old paths conferences. Evangelist Alan Domley will be preaching in those with me. Dr. Russell Anderson's going to preach in some with us. We're going to need to do something. We're going to build a second story to our grade school building. We've got to find Sunday school classroom and room for all the people. As you know, you're all packed in here pretty good today. And the truth of the matter is, we're going to have to expand. We're down. You know, the attendance is down a little bit today due to vacations and things like that. Soon we'll be able, I think, to start a ministry to the Spanish speaking people here in our area. We're going to upgrade our deaf ministry and start some deaf Sunday school classes and have regular deaf activities. We're going to start a class for the educable slow children, and so they can get some one-on-one teaching, and we're going to start a Sunday school class for them. We're going to start some more soul winning ministries. We're going to have some additions to the playground out there. I want the children, I want there to be plenty of things for them to hurt themselves on out there. We're putting a new volleyball court out here for the kids as well. We're getting ready to start some new bus routes. I want to get another bus route or two down in Winchester and some more up in Hagerstown. We're wanting to start one in Shepherdstown. I'm thinking about one in Los Angeles. I've not quite decided yet about the one up to New York, but we're working on that. We're getting ready to double our sign. You've all looked at the sign down here on 81 and looked at it, and you know it's been painting and chipping, and we're getting ready to double the size of that sign. We're going to make available here in-house some Bible college level courses. People keep asking me, what are you going to call it? For now, it's going to be Owens Bible Institute, because I can't think of anything else to call it. If you want to call it by your last name, you give me enough money, we'll change names. We're getting ready to do something new with our missions display, and we've got some building programs on the horizon. We're going to put some new lighting in this auditorium. We're going to have to tear down these walls up here in the balcony and expand things. I'm almost finished. I've got to stop because time will not allow for me to keep on going, but I can promise you, I think I could talk for another hour about what God's been doing. Let me ask you a question. Are you hurting the revival? Could God say, she hurts the spirit? He hurts the spirit. She's not for it. He's not for it. If I were you, I would examine myself. Be an awful, awful, dangerous thing to mess with.
Yes.
How are you helping the revival? You say, well, what could I do, Brother Owens? Well, first of all, if you have any intent of hurting it, or if you have, you need to apologize to God. But how could I help the revival? Get on board. Get on board. There's some people in here, it's time for you to, if you've been saved and baptized by immersion after your salvation, you probably just need to go ahead and join the church. We welcome you. Some of you need to get right with God. You don't help your church's revival when you go out into the community and you live in ways that are embarrassing to the Lord. Get your heart right with God. Change the things that need to be changed. I don't even have to list them. You already know what they are. Some of you are fighting them constantly. It's constant battle inside you about what needs to be changed so that you're right with God. You could add to it. What would happen if everybody got right with God? Could God increase the revival? Well, I guess He could. Some of you need to get right with God financially. You need to get right with God about the way you live. Some of you need to get right with God about your criticism of what God's been doing for the last 36 months. How could you criticize what I just told you for the last 40 minutes, 45 minutes?
Right.
Maybe it's not me and the direction of our church that needs to change. Maybe it's you. So what's God doing in your life for Him? He seems to be blessing the life of our church. Wonder who needs to turn around and head the right direction. If you're not saved here today, let me tell you something. The Savior is Jesus Christ. You could experience personally the blessings that our church has been experiencing. You get saved, I've got news for you, you could have a revival in your life where God would just amazingly begin to meet your needs. If you're here today and you're not saved, I would invite you to the Savior. If you're here today and you're not right with God, I'd invite you to the altar. If you're here today and you're not on board, listen, jump in. Water's fine. You'll be all right. We're not out to hurt you. You say, well, I'm here and I'm not jumping on board. Okay, you just stay right here. You just keep coming. Maybe we'll get to you. If you're apart, let's not tamper with the revival. Let's let God continue. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.